is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 25. We've been looking at Peter's story for, I think, it's for 3 or 4 weeks already. I'm still debating that, continue to preach on 1 Peter or not, because I already preached the same book for the Korean congregation last year. So I remember that all the things that I studied, Pastor Perry helped me providing some notes. But I'm still debating, do I have to go to book of 1 Peter or not? But today I picked another passage from 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be reading verse 13 to 25. Before we read the passage, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for revealing yourself through the Word. Because of that, we are able to understand. Because of that, we know that you love us and we understand your salvation plan through your Son, Jesus Christ. But Lord, many times we open the Bible and we try to understand. We feel that it's kind of a humbling moment. So would you please bless us this morning that we will not bring our personal experiences, personal thoughts, but just taking our hearts and mind to you, purely worshiping and purely listening to your word. So Holy Spirit, please prepare our hearts and speak to us. As I'm going to preach from this text, also please bless me so that we both our congregation and I will be in your mercy and grace this morning. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 25. It will be found in the Pew Bible. Page number is 1,293. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with the perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of the Lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for the sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is God's word. I know that recently many people are talking about baseball, World Series. When I was a young boy, I used to play baseball on the street. Maybe you cannot imagine that. Maybe Dr. Hong understands that. We didn't have a ballpark or other places that we could safely play baseball. Imagine that since we did not have a baseball field, many children used to get together and play the baseball on the street, like outside. As you already imagine, it's kind of impossible task to play baseball on the street, like a narrow and people are passing and cars are passing by, like our Rosewood Avenue B behind us, our neighborhood, streets and houses and people all around us. It's kind of impossible. However, we played a baseball game in spite of these bad conditions based on my sermon note because we are Koreans. I'm sorry. I still remember how I played baseball with my friends. We did not have enough baseball gloves at the time. So sometimes we played with our hands. Therefore, if someone hit a fly ball, no one tried to catch the ball because it really hurt you. And there was another challenge to play baseball on the street. We used to break many neighbors' windows. I think I did a couple of times. If someone hit a home run, that means we did not celebrate. That means we have to run away. Run away as soon as possible and then hide somewhere so that people could not find you. Hitting a home run means breaking someone else's windows. So we used to be a good running away people. We used to be good at running away and hide somewhere. But sometimes we were busted by the owner of the house, whose windows are totally broken in pieces. Then the owner of the house always asked the same question, no matter what. Same question, who is your father? That is the first question people asked us, who is your father? And saying that, following that question, did your father teach you to play like that, baseball on the street, and break someone else's windows? And then asking, where is your father right now? Tell me, I want to talk to him right now. Now the question, who is your father, is so critical question for us. Because the question used to make us very scared, sometimes humble, and sometimes we feel shame. Who is your father? I believe that that is the same question. It is a critical question for all of us. We are Christians. Because we say that we are God's children and God is our Father. Since God is our Father, and then what's next? Now, Peter says in our text, we are God's children. Clearly, he says that. Peter talks about how we become God's children, and we became God's children through the work of Jesus Christ. In the previous verses, he talked about it. That we become God's children through faith, that we believe that the death and the resurrection of Christ for our sins. So we became God's children. Then so what? When children are doing something wrong, people tended to blame their parents. I believe the same thing is happening in the United States. So we say like this, when Christians are doing wrong, maybe if we are not right, people out there will begin to blame our Heavenly Father. Then the question arises in our mind, how? Then how we live in this world as God's children? If someone asks me, who is your father? How can we answer that? That's critical questions for us. Today's text, and Peter was trying to answer for that questions. Peter was dealing with the questions, how we live in this world as God's children. How can we answer those tough questions? I'm trying to be more practical with Peter's teaching today. I brought up with some steps based on his teachings. First, Peter said, be ready for action. Now, in Peter's logic, based on the previous verses, we are living in this world as those who have received God's grace. So we have God's grace. That is what the prophets eagerly longed for, the searched for. He talked about it in the previous verses. So what they really wanted, the prophets wanted to do, was to live in God's grace. Now we are living in God's amazing grace. We received all these things, God's forgiveness of sins and eternal life as His children. So we have all the benefits. We are God's children. Think about that. That is more exciting, very exciting. I'm His child. We received God's grace through Jesus Christ. That phrase makes me exciting and energetic. Therefore, we must be different. Peter also starts with the same phrase, therefore, in verse 13. We know that therefore means something is result. That means since we received God's grace in Christ, therefore, what we have to do as God's children, preparing your mind for action. Be ready for an action. Now here Peter demands us be ready for action as God's children. In the original language, the sentence can be translated like this, maybe, binding up the waste of your mind. Binding up the waste of your mind. I'm thinking that, does our mind have the waste? No, it's a symbolic expression. Now, in order to understand this symbolic expression, we have to understand their clothing tradition at Jesus' time. They did not have blue jeans or other things like us we are wearing every day. They wore long dress style looking like a clothing. So imagine that what Peter was trying to say to us before doing something, before running something, before working something, pulling one's robes and trying to put them around oneself to get ready for an action doing something. That was what Peter was trying to say. That was what usually people did at the time, try to pulling their robes and try to tie it up on their waist. So in Peter's mind here, Peter is talking to us. We, as Christians, as God's children, we need to tight our minds for action. That's our call. Ready for action, not just sitting, not just only thinking, but ready for an action, ready for listening to God's command, ready for learning about God's command and God's word, ready for running and doing something for God and His kingdom. And we sense that from His teaching, it comes with a sense of urgency. This is not just time to sitting around and wait for the time, but this is time for us, ready for action. Nothing should hinder us, you and me, to live for God's kingdom as His children. Our mind must be free from any hindrance to learn and serve the Lord, such as fear and doubt, worry, jealousy, and or even pride and unbelief. That is what Peter is trying to say. We have to be ready to move. Since we are God's children, move forward with Christ. In the second, Peter commands, be self-controlled. That's the NIV version I wanted to use, but ESV version is sober-minded. Now here, Peter mentioned it three times, be self-controlled, these particular phrases in his letter. Chapter 1, verse 13, and chapter 4, verse 7, and chapter 5, verse 8. It's interesting to look at all these three different verses. The theme of be self-controlled was in Peter's mind was all the time, be self-controlled, be self-controlled. Now, it is difficult for us to know what Peter was trying to talk about be self-controlled in our text in chapter 1, verse 13. So it would be better for us to look at all other places, or other verses, so that we may understand, know what Peter wants to talk about it. Let's go to chapter 1, and chapter 4, and verse 7. Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. He's talking about the last moment. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. That's interesting. What Peter wanted to talk about here is, it will be very difficult to keep us like praying for something at the end of the world. It's really difficult for us to pray at the end of the world, because there will be lots of temptations and other challenges for a Christian's life, in our life. So worldly life hinders us to have a prayer life. Therefore, we must be clear our mind and self-controlled in order to have prayer life, sincerely putting ourselves and spending ourselves to pray together. And another text is from chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober-minded, Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. This is also an interesting text. This passage is also talking about the last moment, the last thing, last age. In this passage, Peter warned that the devil is out there. Not just out there, but to destroy us. Based on these two verses in chapter 4, verse 7, chapter 5, verse 8, we see that there was a sense of urgency as well in Peter's mind. Not only Peter, but also Paul also used the same word, self-control, when he talked about a second coming of Christ, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 and 8, at the end of the age. What will be happen at the end of the age? We know that the Bible clearly tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ will return to us, to earth, and there will be fine judgment at the end of age. That's why Peter was talking to his reader, be ready. Be ready for Jesus' return. Many times in Peter's letter, there is no time to waste. Therefore, you should be ready for the return of Christ and God's final judgment. Now, Peter warns here his readers that we all Christians and God's children are living at the very end of all things, waiting for Christ's return and God's judgment. That's why he says like that. That's why Jesus also himself says, therefore, keep watch. Because you do not know the day or the hour. Matthew 25, verse 13. Even more, there is not only the final judgment, but there will be a great reward at the end of the age. We know that when Jesus Christ comes again, it will be the time for our inheritance. Peter also talks about it. As God's children, we will receive God's inheritance. Therefore, we must be ready for God's inheritance. How? One of the ways, be self-controlled, sober-minded. But sometimes we do not know when exactly it will be. But one thing that we know is we should not let the devil devour us. The devil is roaring outside and looking for someone to destroy. Therefore, we must reject all the temptations of the devil, temptations of the world, but remaining in self-controlled mind, waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ, only looking at cross, not looking at the left and right. We have to control our mind. Don't look at that, but only look at Christ. Look at the cross. And then marching toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we need self-controlled and sober-minded. That's Christians. That's God's children. If we say, God is my Father, our Father, we have to focus on Jesus Christ, self-controlled. Third, and Peter said, set your hope fully on God's grace in our text. Now we found the word hope is another big theme in Peter's mind. He intentionally talked about a hope to his readers. Now we know that in the first century, many Christians were under persecutions by Roman government, empire, and other Jewish religious leaders. It's really difficult to live in that culture, I believe. They have experienced many persecutions and hardships that we cannot imagine. So think about their situation. It seemed there was no hope, no future for them. They became Christians. They tried do good things. But what happened to them was persecutions and hardships. So now Peter tried to encourage them, the first Christians, mostly Gentile Christians, to look for the fulfilling of their salvation. Not just only looking at their current lifestyles, but looking forward to fulfilling of their salvation. Now here the hope, the word hope that Peter talked about was not human-made hope, but God brought and God made the word. The hope is not earned by our effort, but it has already given to us through the death and the resurrection of Christ. He mentioned that chapter 1 and verse 3, which is not our text, but he says that. Even more, this hope that we have is already being brought to us. We already possess that hope in Christ. So Peter urged his people to keep their eyes on the hope. That's what God's children do. Keep our eyes on the hope. Now, sometimes we are struggling with many things around us, such as the financial difficulties and our broken relationships or many other personal difficulties. Those all things will bring our attention to something else. And if we finally feel that there is no hope because I don't have money, there is no hope because our relationships are totally broken, there is no hope because we don't have anything. But here Peter comes to us saying that, please, don't look at those things. You already have hope that God has brought to you in Christ. So bring your attention, your eyes here, God's hope. Romans 8:37 and 39, it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, 39, nor heights on death, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is our hope, nothing else. Because we are connected with God in Christ. God adopted you and me as his children. That is our hope. Since we are his children, we will fully receive God's inheritance. That's our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus Christ is our only hope. That is what Peter is trying to say. Therefore, as God's children, we always try to set our hope, not something else, not partially, but fully on Christ until he comes again. We have to put everything on that hope. Fourth, in this text, Peter talks about obedience. In the first century, the practice of adoption was very common. Amazingly, an adopted son enjoyed the same privileges as a natural son, even sharing inheritance, everything. Now here, we are called God's children. That means we are adopted, not by our efforts, but God's grace. Here, God adopted you and me as his holy children, holy people. Therefore, we have the privileges to receive God's inheritance. Now here, Peter talks about our responsibility as God's children in the text. Not only we are privileged to receive God's inheritance, but also we have a responsibility for that privilege. That is what Peter is saying, try to say to us. Obedience to God. As parents train their children to be obedient, God also expects you and me to be obedient to his word. Therefore, that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to obey God's word every day because we are his children. Now, how to obey God's word? In Peter's mind, in verse 14, it says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. That's ESV version. Now, the NIV version says, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Now, here Peter is talking about the background of some of the original recipients of this letter, which means the Gentiles. Before they believed in God, they were pagans. We were pagans too. They were pagans who lived in ignorance who were separated from God. Because they did not believe in God, they used to ignore God's law, and they were controlled by evil desires. That's their former life. Now, here Apostle Paul also talked about the same matter in his letter to Rome. Do not be controlled by these things. So Peter is talking to them that we have a responsibility as God's children. Before, we were living in a different world that we just ignore God's word and God's command. But now, since we became God's children, this is time for us to show our love and our responsibility to God, obedience to God and His command. That's Peter's mind. And Peter's words, you know, brings us many questions. How many times do we have to obey God? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. It's my personal struggling too, as one of the staff members of this church. I know I have to spend my time to read more Bible and encourage myself to getting God's blessings from the Bible. But it's really busy sometimes. This week, Pastor Perry texted me, James, time to learn about 2 times preaching a week, like a time to learning session. Yeah, Friday and Sunday. Maybe you think that 2 times preaching will be okay, but it's not okay with me. It's not okay with me. I don't know how can I do that if 3 times preaching, 4 times preaching a week, it will be maybe impossible for me. Because I found myself that there is no time for me to read and to pray. If I have too much, things are going on. I'm sure that you have the same problem in your everyday life. You're so busy with your family, your job, and things around us, you, yourself. No time to read the Bible, and no time to obey God's word. Now, Peter is talking to us clearly. He's saying that if you're saying that you are God's children, put the word of God first and obey His word. That's why he says the very last, in verse 24, he's using from Psalm, Isaiah, all flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And many times we are saying that we are God's children. But how many times we think of, if people will ask us, who is your father? Can you tell them about your father? Are you ready to say that I am a God's child because God adopted me? Are you ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because you already have that? Now, today's text, Peter says that we must be ready, prepare our mind for action, not just sitting and waiting. We must bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, and we must present that we are God's children. We must be proud of that. Be ready, prepare for that. And also self-controlled. Not just going to everywhere, following every directions of our lives, but only Jesus Christ. Sober-minded, clear-minded, be ready to learn. And then setting our hope, not partially, but fully on the grace of God that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And on top of that, are you ready to obey the word of God? Because Peter says that everything will be changed. But the word of God will be forever. Those four things, as we are God's children, as we are called God is our Father, we have to be reminded. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us about some practical things that we have to remember from Peter's teaching. We know that chapter 1, so many things that we can learn, but sometimes we just forget things that we are God's children. Maybe sometimes we don't want to say we are God's children. But Peter mentioned that we are God's children, so we have to live up to that title. So Lord, would you please bless us as we are going to the end of this year, and help us to remember that your grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, that we become your children. So please help us to practice all these things Peter is teaching. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.